Sock passe, chingus. It's your girl Kathleen, aka Cassidy, aka Sodin, and you are tuned in to another episode of Sodin Soapbox. Yes, here on Sodin Soapbox is where we rant about all things love, life, and the pursuit of music. Get into it, get into it. What's going on, family? What's going on? We are back at it again with the back at it again with another episode for this month. So I'm just, you know, I'm always happy to just be on the mic and just chat with my listeners and my family. If you are new here, welcome, welcome, welcome. Come on in, take a seat, kick off your shoes, relax your feet. Grab you some wine, grab you some tea, grab you some coffee, some water, whatever it is you need to just kick back and relax, especially if you are new here, because here we are family. And if you are a returning listener, how you doing? How you living? How you living? Kijon ye? Comment famille ye? How's your family? How you doing? We're going to get into today's episode because I got a lot of things to talk about. Some things are some minor things, and other things are some major things, major topics, major conversations that I want to get into today. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of today's episode, y'all already know what to do. Please, please, please follow your girl on all social media platforms. That is Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. My handle is Shameless Listo on all platforms. That's Shameless Listo. Come talk to me. Come chat with me. Tell me what you think about this episode. Tell me what you thought about last episode. Because last episode, child, I ranted and raved about Queen Charlotte and the gorgeous King George. And so your girl was really going in on that. So please hit me up on all the socials. Follow me. Come talk to me. Tell me what's on your mind. Tell me what you thought about. Tell me what you thought about either episodes. All right. So we're going to get into this. There's going to be kind of a melange. A mix of Sodin's life update and the episode that we're going to be going in today. There's not really one specific topic, and that's fine. You know, not every episode I come up with has a specific topic, and I've given myself grace on that because I think I've mentioned before, I feel like I always have to have a topic to come on the mic with, and sometimes I just want to kind of freestyle it and go off the dome. And that's what we're doing today because I got a couple things that I just want to talk to y'all about. So let's begin with our Sodin's life update. So y'all, I think this is my last year in Korea. I know. That's actually part of the reason why I've scaled back on these episodes. If you're familiar, I used to drop at least 2 episodes a month, but as of late, I've kind of just been feeling overwhelmed and just kind of trying to sit in this season and deciding and listening to God on what my next course of action is. Even making the decision to decide to leave is not necessarily one that I'm making with ease. Because as I've said in previous episodes before, I love my kids. I really, really do. I love my kids. They're so smart. They're so sweet. They're so kind. They're beautiful on the inside and out. And they just, the way they light up in the classroom, the way I enjoy engaging with them and they engaging with me. And I just found out the other day from one of my co-teachers, he was saying that apparently next to PE class, my class is deemed as one of the classes that the kids look forward to having. And I don't take that for granted at all. I definitely work hard, but also I think that that's God's favor on me because I've never been a teacher prior to this. I don't have the experience. Like, I'm someone who public speaking absolutely terrified. So the fact that I get in front of my class and just have this connection with the kids, and I'm able to talk to them and connect with them and find out what they like and find out what they love and find out what's going on in their mind, not just in terms of with English, but just outside and understand their world. That's an experience I do not take for granted at all. So I absolutely love my kids. I've, again, said this before and I'll say this again. I wake up and I look forward to going to work. Like, yeah, I may be tired and I'm like, oh my God, like I didn't get enough sleep. But that's just because I'm a night owl. But I've never had the feeling of like, how do I call out of work today? What excuse do I have? Where like, that used to be me before. And I know a lot of people, especially like the boomers and them, they like to project people of our generation that we don't have work ethic and things like that. But I think the reality is like, we want to work in a place that we feel appreciated. And for the first time, like I can say, but all sincerity, I do feel appreciated at my job. Now, the reason I'm leaving is for various of reasons. Here in Korea, it feels like time is at a standstill. I say that because not necessarily in a sort of competitive or comparison perspective, but more or less just like, I feel like I'm in the same space that I was 4 years ago when I came here physically. Not, I won't say mentally, emotionally, and all of that. I feel like I've definitely progressed and I've grown. And that's just thanks to the fact that like I've taken my walk with the Lord more seriously. I'm in therapy. So those things I feel like have significantly grown. But I feel like in my life, as far as career-wise, as far as reaching certain ambitions and goals and aspirations, I just feel like I'm in the same space that I was when I first got here as in comparison to like now. Like, I don't feel like I have a certain benchmark to be like, oh, while I was here, I was able to, I don't know, start this business or start that or do whatever. Like, and I'm not saying it necessarily has to be career-wise, but I just don't feel like I've progressed to the level that I would have hoped for here. And now again, from the Christian perspective, I understand that God had certain plans for me while being here, and I pray that I'm fulfilling them and walking in them. At the same time, I just feel like there's just a lot of things that I want to pursue, I want to achieve, I want to explore, and I can't do that while living here. So that's just where I am right now. Also, the reasonings is like based off location. I live in a remote island, and while yes, I could have transferred to a different school, the reality is I didn't want to deal with the ups and downs and dramas of a Hagwon, which, if you're not familiar, Hagwons are like Korean academies where kids go specifically to learn English only, or to learn math or science or whatever subject they're specifically in, and they just have really bad reps, whether they overwork you, you have overbearing bosses who like to micromanage you, or just like a plethora of just drama that in reality I just don't have the wherewithal to deal with or the emotional capacity to deal with. Because I'm in a couple like Facebook expat groups, and the stories that come across my timeline about what people are going through, they're not getting paid on time, they're getting paid too little, they're not getting the help that they're looking for. And it's just, again, not saying that everybody is perfect, but for me to leave the situation that I am in now to go and play Russian roulette in the Hagwon space, and that's like private school, but even if I go to, for example, another public school, the way, because here in Korea, let me give some background. Here in Korea, no teacher stays at the same school, public school, for longer than 3 years, four max, but the fourth year is like based off an extension. Like, you have to ask for an extension from the principal, and if nobody wants to take your position, like as in like nobody wants to transfer in and be that. Like if you're a history teacher, no one's transferring in from another school applying to be the history teacher at our school. You can extend for 1 year. But most of the time, teachers transfer out every 3 years, 3 to 4 years. So like, for example, I've been here for 4. So most of the teachers that I came here with on the first year, they've already up and left and gone to different schools. Or even like my first year, there were teachers who were coming in, they were on their way out. Like my first year was their last year, whether they were retiring, whether they were transferring to a new school, like, you know what I mean? They transfer teachers a lot. It's not only teachers, I heard it's like other jobs, like police officers and certain people in, I won't say high government positions, but like local government positions, like lawyers, for example. They get moved around because it's supposed to keep you on your toes and ensure that like teachers don't get comfortable. And because you're constantly working with new people, it gives you that newness that you have to perform at peak optimization. So they believe that by like cycling people through like different schools, that you're basically on your A game. Now, I get that to a certain extent, especially like when I heard about it from the lawyer perspective, like you just don't want favoritism to happen. You don't want certain lawyers, you know, just getting lazy on the job and things like that. But I think in terms of teachers, again, this is just me from a foreigner perspective. I'm not Korean. I don't know how beneficial that is, because to have kids go through multiple math teachers in their lifetime, or history teachers, or for example, English teachers, you know, especially if they develop a bond and connection with them, only for the teacher to have to be moved to another school, that it's like a new teacher comes in and they have to start the whole process again. It just basically makes room for like people to not have emotional connections, which I realize isn't really a thing here. Again, I don't want to come off making any stereotypical comments or statements, but I realize like the way that, for example, in the Western countries, we're starting to really strive for making emotional connections and forming emotional intimacy bonds or emotionally intimate bonds with one another. That's not really a thing here, even though here in Korea they're all about the group, and whereas the Western were more about individualism. And I feel like both has its own versions of pros and cons. I don't know, I just feel like that's just a disservice that the kids have a bond with the teacher only for them to leave in a matter of 2-3 years, and then they have to basically start all over again with a new teacher. So yeah, this is why like this decision for me is like very difficult, because I form bonds with my kids. I've literally seen most of them grow up. I've seen a lot of them graduate high school already. They come back and they come to see me. Or just like, again, I've seen them go through middle school and now they're in high school. And being teachers on both sides, because I teach middle and high school, just seeing them grow up, I have an attachment to them. So that's very hard for me to make the decision to say like, oh, I'm leaving. But I feel like it's in my best interest, because again, where I'm located, I'm pretty much far from everything. And I don't necessarily see myself as like moving to a different city as like really solving the issue, because there's just like a lot that I deal with here in Korea. And we'll get into that later, into like the meat and bones. But like, I just know, for example, my social anxiety has been at an all-time high since coming here. I don't have connections and, you know, real friendships, real meaningful friendships. And the people that I have connected with on a meaningful level, they as well have gone, you know, they've left Korea and gone back to their home countries or to other countries. And so then it's like you pretty much like feel like you put a wall up, because it's like you want to engage with people and feel connected. But then it's like you don't necessarily know how long they're going to be here. And unfortunately, that's a lot of the reasons why Koreans don't necessarily form friendships with foreigners, because in their mind, they're like, oh, you're never, like, they just never know how long you'll be here. So they don't see the point to really invest deeply into a friendship if you're somebody that's only here for a year, or if you're like an exchange student, you're only here for like 6 months. So I definitely get it from both sides. But yeah, I'm just realizing, like, I miss having a community. I know one of the things for me is just I miss community, and I'm so far away from everything. And so it's just a lot of things. Like, again, this wasn't an easy decision for me to come to. But I think after going home, and even going home, I didn't necessarily feel like, oh my God, like, I miss home. Because I'm the type of person, like, I've never stayed with my parents like that. I went to college in Virginia for 4 years, ended up staying for 10. Because I just liked having my independence and being far away from everyone. Which is why, like, a lot of people are like, oh, don't you miss your parents and stuff like that? And I'm like, I don't want to be, you know, the bad guy. But I'm like, I can't say I miss my parents to that extent. I miss my sister a lot because, like, she and I are, like, my sister's, like, my best friend. So I miss her a lot because we talk on the phone every weekend. We text every weekend. I mean, we text every day. But, like, my parents, it's hard to say that I miss them. I miss being able to just see my mom when I want to and, you know, check in on her. And because my mom has, like, health issues, so being able to just make sure she's okay, that's kind of been hard. But, like, to say I miss my parents, child, I can't be in the house for no longer than, like, a month before I'm like, all right, let me get out of here. So it's really hard to answer that question, like, do I miss my parents? I mean, yes, I love my parents, but, like, I don't think I miss them in the sense, like, I'm homesick. Because most of the time, I don't really think about my, like, being home until it's, like, the later half of the year, when it's, like, all the holidays, when it's, like, Thanksgiving, and it's Christmas, and it's New Year's, and, or actually, let me back up. It's my birthday, it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then New Year's. Like, those, that, like, basically the holiday season is when I start to feel, like, the homesickness, but it's more just so because I don't have a community here that I can celebrate these holidays with. Because even when I lived in Virginia, I didn't go home that often, but I would have Thanksgiving with my friends and their family, or just, like, we had our own Thanksgiving dinner. Christmas was the same. We did our own thing where we had, you know, I had a Christmas tree in my house, and my friends and I would have Christmas dinner together, or a party, or whatever the case may be. And then, of course, New Year's, because I told y'all before, l'école, la caille, l'église, New Year's was always spent in church, okay? That, I don't think it's called watch night service anymore. I don't even know, child, what it's called anymore. But New Year's Eve service, I was there. So, like, me and my community, my friends, we would be at the church ringing the New Year's together. And then we would go to IHOP because IHOP was open 24 hours. We would go get us some pancakes. So, child, like, I'm just used to certain festivities around the holidays for me. So being here, and Korean Thanksgiving is on a completely separate day than American Thanksgiving. So there's that. Then you have Christmas here, which is a couple's holiday. And for me, like, that's just always been, like, a holiday. Christmas is one of my favorite holidays. To me, that's just a celebration of, like, listening to your favorite Christmas songs, watching your favorite Christmas movies, and being surrounded by friends and family. Again, obviously, I know not everybody enjoys the holidays, but for me, like, it's just a time to be around friends and family and to laugh and have a good time and shoot, jump in the car and go look at everybody else's Christmas lights and be like, dang, I know they light bill about to be high this month. Like, you know what I mean? Like, doing all of these things. And that's not a thing here. It's just really focused on couples here, couples there, everything. And even New Year's Eve, because there's Sonal, which is the Korean New Year's, January 1st isn't really, like, it's celebrated, but it's not as big of a deal as Sonal, which is when, like, everybody goes to see their family and they go do, like, all this other stuff. So it's a lot more that goes into it in comparison to the American holidays. Anyways, all in all, I'm rambling and I'm going on and on about this. The fact of the matter is, I'm thinking that this is going to be my last year here in Korea, even though my co-teacher, this is supposed to be his last year too, and now he's contemplating staying one more because this will be his fifth. And he's like, oh, I really want you to stay. Like, you're one of the best teachers we have. And I'm like that song says, I really can't stay. Like, I don't know if I could stay. And then even I go to church here and a lot of the members of the church want me to stay. And they're like, well, what would make you stay? And I'm like, because I can't really be 100% honest with them. I'm like, I mean, if I found like a husband, maybe I'll stay. Because, you know, Koreans always be talking about relationships and stuff. So I just said that just to throw it out. So now they over here trying to pray and hope that like I find a Korean husband so that I could stay. And I'm like, child, it's not. God ain't going into that prayer. Or if he does, like 9 times out of 10, I'm going to meet the guy and then we both leave it. Because I genuinely feel like God is closing this chapter and season of my life so I can go on to the next. What the next looks like, I don't know. And that's why like a couple episodes back, I was like, y'all, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Because literally like, I know I'm supposed to leave here. I genuinely feel like this is supposed to be my last year, even though I'm still fighting with that within myself. But I do feel like I'm supposed to close this chapter after this year, and I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't know what things are gonna look like in the next chapter of my life, in the next season. Like, even now saying this, I'm like, am I talking about this preemptively? But you know, we're already in July, and my like, I don't want to rush time, but I'm like, at some point or another, I'm going to have to get ready to like make a decision on what I want to do, if I plan to renew my contract or if I plan to end it. So I have to start laying the foundation and the groundwork to make my decision and figure out what I'm going to do next. And so I feel like I might as well start telling y'all, since I've only been recording an episode a month. And I mean, it's not like I want to just be honest and open with you guys about what's going on with me. And so the reality is that your girl is 9 times out of 10 going to be my last year, and I'll probably be going back to the States. So that's a whole nother thing in itself. I think I just need to grieve that for a little bit, because for me, when I first got to Korea, I just imagined that this would be my forever home. I just imagine, like, because of when I first came here and I left, I just prayed. I was like, God, if you ever open up a door for me to come back to Korea, I know that that means I'm supposed to live here. So when that door opened and I came, that's the mentality that I had. I'm supposed to live here. I'm supposed to, you know, grow roots here, essentially. This is my new home. But as the years progress, and obviously with the Pandarosa and all of that, my mentality and my perspective just started to shift naturally. And I just started to feel like, okay, I don't think I can live here. From, you know, the way I see my kids from day in and day out, they're not kids, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't want to raise my own children in that lifestyle. Then, child, it's the dating pool. I done told y'all already, there is pee and COVID in the dating pool. And interestingly enough, I saw somebody saying like, oh, why does everybody say that the dating pool is so bad? Or why is it, you know, why does everybody say there's pee and COVID in the dating pool? And the reality is, it's because one, people don't want like to communicate. Two, you got people who are in relationships, whole relationships, not half, not 3/4, not a quarter, a whole relationship, and they're still in the dating pool. Then you got people who are married and they're still in the dating pool and they're acting like they're single. This is why I personally say there's pee and COVID in the dating pool, because don't nobody want to communicate with each other. You have this expectation in the back of your mind that's not communicated, and you expect the other party to somehow just know these are the things that are expected of the other person. And then there's the whole cat and mouse game. Oh, what do you bring to the table? Oh, well, I'm a city girl and this, that. Like, it's too much. It's genuinely too much. Nobody wants to be authentic. Nobody wants to be transparent. God forbid people be vulnerable and be like, hey, I want somebody to be my safe space. I want somebody that I can trust you with my heart and you not betray me. There's such a lack of honesty and all of that, that, like I said, for me personally, there's pee and COVID in the dating pool, because everybody want to play games. Don't nobody want to talk to each other. Niggas is mad that women are getting educations, but y'all niggas is not doing nothing to better yourselves. Women are getting therapy and y'all niggas is just staying children. So it's just like a lot, you know, or you got women who just want to be childish and want to just, you know, milk somebody, a man dry for all he got, because somehow she feels like she's entitled to that. Like, it's just a mess. It's just a mess. Everybody needs therapy. Everybody needs help. And so when you have just hurt people in the dating pool, when you have toxic people in the dating pool, when you got people who just don't even know what they want and don't even really want a commitment, or just uncertain of everything, and they're all in the same dating pool, dating is ghetto. It's absolutely ghetto. I don't know how we got here, but here we are. But dating is just ghetto. So for me, it's like, that's the other thing, is like, it comes to me wanting a community, me recognizing I don't want to raise my kids here in the school, me recognizing, and again, the caveat is it's not all men, but like, the men here are not giving the Korean dramas that y'all be seeing. Please, Tom, please, Bum Tempware, like, it's not it. It's not reality. It's not the truth. It's not what you see. And so all of those mixed together, I just really feel like it's time for me to go. It's time for me to wrap this season up and see what God has in store for me. And even that's a whole scary thing, which maybe I'll make a separate episode about. Or I've been thinking about doing like follow-ups to my episodes where I go like live on my Instagram page, and I kind of just add a little bit more to context to like whatever topics. Let me know if that's something you'd be interested in. I might consider it. If not, it's cool. But just something to just give more context. But yeah, all in all, I just wanted to kind of drop that as my life update, is that I am considering leaving Korea and coming back to the States. What I'm going to be doing, don't know. Where I'm going to be, don't know. I'm literally just, in the words of John Bon Jovi, living on a prayer, because I don't know what is going to happen, how life is going to happen, where my life is going to be. So I hope y'all can just stick around and join me on this journey and we figure it out together. I'm going to keep it 100 with y'all along the way. So I hope that y'all just, you know, understand where I am, that I'm not going to get this right. I'm not going to get it perfect, but we are where we are. But all right, I'm going to stop with the life updates. We're going to get into some other topics in this episode. But of course, before we do, here are your church announcements. All right, y'all already know, your girl is a small content creator. There's only one thing that I ask of you, my listeners, and that's to show how much you love my podcast. So what I need for you guys to do is to head over to Podchaser and find this podcast. Leave your girl 4 or 5 stars. 5 stars is preferred. And to write 1 to 2 lines on why you love my podcast. I would just really appreciate it if you would just rate my podcast 4 or 5 stars. And it has to be specifically Podchasers, because I know I have some listeners who listen on Google, who listen on Apple or Spotify. But the thing is that the recognition and the acknowledgement comes through Podchasers. That's where you get sponsorships. That's where you get any type of accolades. It comes through Podchasers. That's why I specifically indicate that's where you need to go. So here's what you guys need to do. Simple instructions. Simple. As a teacher, I'm going to give you the steps 1, 2, 3. Step number 1, go to podchaser.com. That's P-O-D-C-H-A-S-E-R.com.
www.thebrandingmatters.com. Step number two, find your favorite podcast. That's this one, Sorin's Soapbox. That's S-O-R-I-N apostrophe S, S-O-A-P-B-O-X. Step number three, when you find your favorite podcast, this one, you're going to leave me 4 or 5 stars. 5 stars is preferred. And then you're going to write 1 to 2 lines saying why you love this podcast. Okay? See? 3 easy steps. It be that set. Fini. Finito. Conasa. Finished. And that's it. And it does so much for someone like me who's a small content creator just trying to grow her platform. That's all I ask, and I thank you in advance for helping me, because then it allows me to continue to make content just for you. So again, I thank you in advance, and that is the end of our church announcements.
So, all right, moving on to some other topics, hopefully a little less heavy and more light. So today, this would have been part of my life update, but again, we're kind of just melanging everything together, mixing everything. So even though this is technically the meat and bones of the episode, I think it's still just part of the Sodine's life update. But again, everything is just being melanged and it is what it is. Today, I took myself on a solo date. So that was nice. I don't remember the last time I took myself on a solo date, because there was a point in time I used to go often. I used to take myself out on solo dates. I think this year, because again, going back to the fact that I'm in the mentality that this is my last year, I think I've just been trying to like organize my life, declutter my life, so that by the time I need to leave and end my contract, it's a smooth transition. I think the last time I took myself on a date was when I went to go see Black Panther. And so today I ended up going to the movies again. I went to go see the new Spider-Man. And first of all, the way I had to matrix my way through my social media feed, because here it didn't come out till June 21st. Today is June 24th. So I saw it the first Saturday that it came out. But obviously, if you're in the West, especially in America, it been done came out. And so everybody and their mama done seen it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. And they all talking about it. They giving dissertations. They giving writing their thesis about it. Like, they done broke every aspect of it. And me, I'm having to do the matrix to avoid any spoilers, because I haven't seen it. It hasn't come out yet here. And I can't necessarily fault anybody, be like, hey, no spoilers, because not everybody understands the fact that these movies come out hella late or at completely different times than people in the States. Even The Little Mermaid, I didn't even get to see. And I didn't get to see it because honestly, like, Koreans were just, the way they were talking about Ariel just really pissed me off a lot, that I just didn't want to be in the theater and hear all of that. So I just decided for me, I'm gonna wait till it comes out on Disney Plus to watch it, because like, my kid, like, again, love my kids. And it wasn't just them, but like some of my students, as well as some of the other teachers and other people, were just saying how they didn't like Hallie being Ariel. Like, I heard some people saying like she looked like Alien versus Predator under the water. One of my kids saying like, oh, her hair isn't red. And I'm like, her hair is red though. I'm like, y'all just have a specific notion or concept of red hair, and it's when it comes to Wahite, not thinking of what red hair looks like, or that there's various shades of red when it comes to like POCs. And you know, I was just like, oh, I'm excited for this Little Mermaid movie because she looks like me. And the moment I said it, like, my kids were stuck because they didn't know what to say, right? Because you thought, I'm that teacher. Like, I will put my kids in their place, don't care, love them, but I will check them. So I don't think they were expecting that response. Even another kid of mine, they were like, oh, teacher, did you see the they call it the fish princess here, because that's the Korean translation. I don't even know how to say it in Korean, but it translates to the fish princess. And they're like, oh, did you see the Ariel movie, is usually what they say. And I was like, no, I didn't, because I just heard Koreans say a lot of nasty things about it, and I just didn't want to have to deal with that. But yeah, anyways, I digress. today I took myself on a solo date to go see the new Spider-Man movie. And so I ended up taking myself to Outback. Y'all, first of all, the waiter was cute, but why did his name tag say Simba? Like, I got questions. Like, did you pick that name? Like, is that your English name or is that like a theme name? Like, what's going on? And I really, it was really difficult to not ask this man, like, is that your real name? And obviously it's not. Cause, like, that's obviously not your real name. But I'm thinking to myself, like, please don't tell me that's your English name. Because a lot of my kids, they, again, I guess part of Hagwon life is that they pick English names for them. I'm gonna be honest, I don't like it. It's giving very colonization. It's giving very colonizer vibes. You gonna pronounce my name and you're gonna pronounce it correct every single time. Even if I gotta break it down for you multiple times, I'm going to have you pronounce my name. But a lot of my times my kids come in and they be like, oh, teacher, this is my English name. And a lot of the times the names be like old Wahite men. One of my kids, she was like, oh, teacher, my English name is Agatha. And I was like, Agatha? I said, no, baby, no, no. I said, we're not doing that. So I came up with a whole new name for her. Cause I was like, Agatha? I was like, that's like an older lady name. And you're like 17. I said, let's not do that to yourself. But yeah, they come in and they were like, oh, teacher, my new name is Ethan, or my English name is Rachel, or my English name is this, that, and the third. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, so do you want me to call you by your English name or do you want me to call you by your Korean name? And they're like, oh, it's whatever you want to call me. I was calling them by their Korean name because, child, I'm not about to do all that. I mean, I had one boy because he grew up in America. And he has a lot more connection to America than here. I mean, he's probably been here by now, half and half is split, but he does not want me to call him by his Korean name. He's like, my English name is Caleb. I only want to be called Caleb. So I've only ever called him that. So when I refer to him to other teachers, they're like, who? And I'm like, oh, my bad. And I gotta use his Korean name. But everybody else, I call them specifically by their Korean names. But this man's name was Simba. And I was like, please don't tell me that's the English name that you chose. Because I know good and well your daddy is not Mufasa. Like, your daddy is not Mufasa. Don't do this. Please don't do this. So yeah, that was immediate turn off for me. And I'm really bad about that. Like, the slightest things can turn me off on somebody. Like, I could think somebody's cute. But if I see they smoke, or they chew weird, or their lips be chapped all the time, I'm immediately like, you know what? I'm over it. I'm legitimately over it. But yeah, his name was Simba. But anyways, I had my lunch at Outback. It was good, but they tricked me, y'all. They legitimately tricked me. My man sent me to the lunch menu trying to make it sound like it was cheaper. Bruh, I paid for like two meals for one person. Granted, I ate them, but like, he was just like, oh yeah, like you get two meals. I was thinking, again, this is just a language barrier thing. It is what it is. I'm not griping. But he made it sound like it was like two for the price of one. And that, like, because it's lunch hour, a lot of the things are discounted. But child, when he brought me that bill, I was like, I don't see no discount. I wanted to be like, ah, kaka juseyo. Like, how didn't you say yo? Like, I need a discount. Si vous plaît, I need a discount. And so me, the way the food came out, if y'all ever see Queen Latifah's The Last Holiday, when she's sitting at the restaurant of her favorite chef, Chef Didier, that's how much I watched the movie and love it. They bring out, she like gets the entire menu brought to her and everybody's staring at her like, what? That's what it was like for me, because I ordered a shrimp and aioli pasta, and then I ordered some ribs, and then it came with like two soups, and then I got two drinks. So they brought it out and literally the people were staring at me. And I felt like it was a scene from that movie. And I was just like, child, it is what it is. I had my little book that I'm currently reading right now. And I was just eating, having me a good time. But like the stares, the way I was getting stared down for being there, one, by myself, and two, having that much food in front of me. I was like, who gonna check me though? Who gonna be my ass? Who? None of y'all. So mind your business, mind your business. But yeah, my Simba tricked me. And so that was a whole encounter in itself. And then because I couldn't eat it all, I still had some ribs left. I was like, oh, can I get a to-go box? Child, they want to charge me for the to-go box. They want to charge me. I had a little bit of pasta left. And then I had like a whole, because it was like a rack of rib and a half. And I was like, child, I'm a foodie and I love to eat, but I just didn't have the stomach capacity to consume all of that. So I was like, yeah, can I get a to-go box? And he was like, oh, okay, that's fine. But like, I'm gonna have to charge you. I was like, charge me. And it was basically like 100 wines for each box. So one box for the ribs, one box for the little bit of pasta I had. And I think 100 wands is maybe, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say maybe 25 cents, 50 cents, maybe less than that. I'm not sure. When it comes to like the dollars, I know. But like the change, child, I don't be knowing the conversion. Let's just say for safekeeping, it's about 50 cents. Charge me 50 cents per to-go box. And I'm like, what did you want me to do? Leave the food here for a waste and y'all could throw it out? I'm sorry. Maybe that's, you know, a poverty mindset, but we don't waste food around here. As many times as I grew up hearing how many Haitian kids would love to eat what I'm eating right now, and for me to just gaspiller it and throw it away, I can't do it. Bakabab, I can't do it. So I was like, bro, just give me the to-go box because I'm not finna just have a whole rack of ribs just go straight to the food trash. Like, that's dumb to me. That's mad dumb. So I took that John to go. Went to the movie theaters. I thought it was going to be packed because it was a Saturday. But then again, I did go at like 2-something in the afternoon because I didn't want to be around like a lot of people and didn't want to be in a crowd. So it was nice that it wasn't as packed as I thought it would be. Because when I went to go buy the tickets earlier, it was telling me like what seats to pick. And it made it sound like most of the seats were already like packed. But then, like I said, I got there and it was fine. But the movie was so good. Like, I really love this Spider-Man series, like with Miles Morales. And the graphics are chef's kiss. It's A1. It's beautiful. The music in this one was litty. I was like, okay, this soundtrack is nice. I like that we got to see a little bit more of Spider-Gwen. And her life, and it kind of was, if you haven't seen this movie by this point, I'm so sorry. There's going to be spoilers. Because, child, I didn't dodge all the spoilers myself. So I'm just telling you the spoilers ahead. But I really liked that it came from, like, Spider-Gwen's perspective a lot more than it was Miles' perspective in the first one. So we kind of get a little mix and blend of that. That was nice. I also like the fact that they included some of the real life Spider-Man into this. So, for example, Tom Holland, Andrew Garfield, and Tobey Maguire, they included a lot of those into this Spider-Man. Even like they had the Lego Spider-Man. Like, I thought that was like really, really dope how they really tried to create multiple universes or multiverse and incorporate into this film. I was like, yo. And then the diversity, giving us an Indian Spider-Man, giving us a Black British Spider-Man at that. Like, I was like, come on here with the diversity. I mean, granted, in the first one, there was like the Asian girl, but like to see a Spanish Spider-Man, to see a Indian Spider-Man, like, to me, I really lived for the diversity. Like, it was beautifully done. The story as well, as far as like Miles trying to figure out himself and his identity and all of that, like, it was just a really good story. And then the way that it just ended, like, it just really left you on this cliff note of, dang, now I really gotta get, I mean, I was already gonna be sold if they came out with like 4 or 5 of them, because I'm gonna be honest, Tom Holland is probably the best Spider-Man that we had. I look back at the Tobey Maguire ones, and I know he did what he was supposed to do back then, but Tobey Maguire has always just been awkward to me. The reason why I didn't like Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man is because, like, for example, in the multiverse one, they were like, oh, it's part of, like, Spider-Man's thing to, like, drop, like, funny jokes and be quirky and this, that, and third. Tobey Maguire wasn't funny or quirky. He was just awkward. Like, he didn't drop the jokes. Like, Tom Holland, the moment you got introduced to him, even, like, he made a joke about, you mean like that movie Star Wars? He's like, oh, I used to watch that as a kid. Like, all the jokes and stuff like that just came naturally to him. The smart mouth, all of that. And I just feel like Tobey Maguire didn't have that. And the reason why, like, I just felt like he didn't fit was going from watching the animated series as a kid and then seeing this one. And I was like, where's the funniness? Like, where's the random, you know, wisecrack jokes? And even when he did make a wisecrack joke, it was, like, dry. But again, I'm not going to beat up on Tobey Maguire. He was the pioneer. He's the one that started it. So we're just going to let him be. But to me, Tom Holland is the best Spider-Man that we've had. But yeah, I just love how everything was intricately woven into this movie. Like, it was definitely given. Like, I loved it. I loved it a lot. And come on, Issa Rae. Issa Rae is in her bag this season because she got the Spider-Man. She's got the new Barbie movie. I think she got something else going on. But the moment I heard Issa Rae playing Spider-Woman, I said, oh, this what we doing? I'm here for all of it. I'm here for it. I was like, come on, Issa. Secure the voice acting bag, okay? And then I think in Barbie, she's like the president of all the Barbies. And I was like, come on, Black president. Black Barbie president. I'm here for this. I'm here for this. So, yeah, overall, great movie. Loved it. Didn't get to stay for, if there was any after credits, you know, little films or previews and stuff, I didn't get to stay because shout out to catch my bus ASAP back home. But yeah, I had a pretty good solo date. So that was good. Like I said, I don't know if I'm going to be doing a lot. I would like to go to Japan, hopefully before I leave Korea. Because literally Japan is just a hop, skip, and a jump away. And it's a lot cheaper for me to go from here than it would be for me back in the States. But we'll see how time and finances will allow me to do all of that. Other than that, I'm kind of just all over the place. So just bear with me. This is just very raw and off the dome. But I kind of touched upon it earlier, and it happened like throughout my day too. On my solo date, but like I think I've mentioned this before, but just as a foreigner, you get stared a lot. And initially, like, it didn't really bother me as much. Like, I think I just kind of walked it into that mentality of just like, oh, I'm a unicorn, you know what I mean? Like, Koreans have never seen Black people that often, especially like the more you spread outside of like Seoul and Busan and probably even Daegu, like the major cities, Black people are just not common in these areas. And so what happens is like Koreans be rubbernecking and they be staring at you hard, like no shame, no, like nothing. They just stare you down. And I'm just like, bruh. And the first couple of years being here, like I said, I ignored it for a long time because I was just like, whatever, like, it is what it is. But now it's just gotten to the point that, like, my social anxiety is, like, through the roof. And the reason why I say it is, like, even today, for example, I got dressed up because I was like, oh, I'm going on a date. I'm going to get dressed up. Initially, I was going to wear my little Spider-Man shirt and go see the movie. But I was like, no, it's nice weather. And so I wore a cute little dress. My friend calls it my strawberry shortcake dress because it's pink with like red hearts all over it and it's very flowy. So I wore that. I felt cute. I looked cute. I walk into the bus terminal to go wait for my bus so I can go to the movie theater. And there's this like older lady. She's like staring me down. So me being Haitian, I stare right back. Cause ma'am,
what the one thing you cannot do is outstare Caribbean. Because I'm going to stare at you right back. And guess what? I'm not the one that's going to yield. You are. Because I'm going to stare at you so bad, you're going to feel uncomfortable. So she's staring at me. I stare at her. I guess she thought I was going to back down. And I looked at her and I was like, annyeonghaseyo. And she like got startled. She's like, oh, annyeonghaseyo. I was like, right. Because ma'am, I see you. Like, you know you're not invisible, right? You know your daddy's not a glassmaker, right? So there's that. Even when I was at the Outback, because again, they bringing out the food to me. There's a couple that was sitting across from me and they were staring at me. And I was just like, bruh, like I'm just eating, enjoying myself. And before anybody else be trying to jump on like, oh, maybe they're just curious. No, this happens on a consistent basis where like people just stare at you for no particular reason. Just aside from the fact that you're a foreigner and they've never seen a black person before. So they just stare and it's not even like a glance. It's like a legitimate, like I said, this older lady, and it was somebody else too, like later on my way home, there was an older man. His entire body was turned to look at me. And I'm just like, sir, don't you have business to take care of? Don't you have your own business to mind? Because mine is not paying you. And so, because this is such a consistent occurrence, it's really just raised up my social anxiety. Like I remember previous weekend, I was coming home from my friend's house, spent the weekend with her and was coming back. And because there was traffic, there's all these cars lined up. And immediately I felt my anxiety like go through the roof because you could feel every single person in their car looking at me. Some people had their windows rolled down already, so they were staring. Some people, you could see them staring through their the window, like even if it's rolled up. Like I'm walking and I literally can feel the stares of every single person in their car looking at me, like to the point that like I had to turn my music up in my AirPods just to get myself to focus on the music, because it was really just like taking a toll on me. And I think that's part of the reason why, again, why I said I feel like I just need to, I think my time here is coming to an end, because I've never been someone who has social anxiety like that. I'm very socially awkward. I'm very socially awkward in the sense like I'll go into a space and because I kind of need to find my, like get a feel of the room, I'll be shy. I may be a little awkward like doing certain things, but it's just because of, again, trying to get a feel for the room. But then once I'm kind of like settled into myself, I'm good. But here, I never have a moment to just settle into myself, because I'm just constantly being stared at. Like usually in America, when people stare at you, it's either because they find you attractive, they nosy or whatever, but then they look at you and then they go about your business. Like these people are staring at you like you a TV show. And I'm like, my dude, can I have my face back? My God. So it's just stuff like that that just really be setting me over the edge. And just really just takes a physical, I won't say physical, but takes a mental toll on me, because I'm just having to constantly be self-conscious of myself. And even when I went home, I remember somebody was staring at me and I remember just being triggered. I was like, why are they staring at me? And my friend would be like, oh, I think they think you're pretty. And I was like, oh, that is somebody's natural reaction, is to stare at you when they think you're pretty. Whereas here, because you're just strange, they're just automatically staring at you. And like I said, maybe for some people, y'all have thicker skin and y'all can handle it. I'm someone that a lot of things really don't bother me, really don't get to me like that. But the staring, at this point, enough is enough. Like, I'm tired. I'm fatigued. I can't keep dealing with the stares all the daggone time. So that's just, for me, really like one of the negative side effects that I'm having to like kind of deal with, is on top of like already not having a community, not feeling like I can really be myself, 100% around the people that I'm with. Because even, again, my Korean mom, love her to death. She takes good care of me. But, like, I still don't feel like I could be me around her. And it's no fault of hers. I think it also just, the language barrier just kind of plays into that. And just cultural barrier. Like, people don't really ask what's going on with you in terms of, like, hey, how you doing? Like, I'm going to end with this. But I remember telling my coworkers that, like, I spend most of my weekends on the phone with my family. And they're like, oh, okay. They're like, how long do you usually talk to them? I'm like, oh, I talk to them for a while. Like, I talk to my mom for at least 2 hours. And then I talk to my sister, like, child, me and my sister be on the phone like it's a work shift, okay? Like, we clock in and we could be on the phone between 6 to 8 hours. Like, and that's just what we do. And I was explaining that. And they're like, oh, no, that's too long. That's too long. And I was like, she's my sister, though. She's my sister. And they're like, well, what do you all be talking? Or, like, I'll tell them, like, I'll be on the phone with my friends. And I'll be on the phone for, like, 2-3 hours. And they're like, no, that's too long. We only talk on the phone for, like, 5 minutes. Because, like, if we talk about everything on the phone, what are we going to talk about when we meet? And I'm like, other topics. Like, what are you saying? Like, what are you talking about? And there's this really big disconnect with, like, I mean, I had one of my co-teachers, he tried to throw shade. And I'm like, honey, I'm a whole tree. Don't try it. But he was just like, oh, yeah, Americans, they love to talk a lot. And I was just like, I was like, you know what? I almost said something I shouldn't have said. Let me be quiet. But I was just like, okay, sure. Like, we can go with that. We'll go with that. Because even, for example, I was asking them, I was like, oh, so, like, you have a younger brother? I was like, where does he go to school? And she's like, oh, I'm not really, she's like, oh, I'm not really sure. And I'm like, what's his major? She's like, oh, I'm not really sure. And I'm like, are you sure you have a brother? And she's like, I mean, we used to be close, but then, like, and I'm like, and I get it. Not everybody has a really buddy relationship with their sibling. But I was like, you don't know what university your sibling goes to. You don't know what they're majoring in. And mind you, she prefaced the conversation saying that she and her brother were close. So when I asked these questions, she was like, I don't know. So then y'all not close. Like, girl, what are you saying? Are y'all just close in age? Because y'all not close in relationship if you don't even know what his major is or what school he goes to. But yeah, I just remember telling them, like, I talked to my sister for hours. And they were like, what do y'all be talking about? And I'm like, everything and nothing at all. Like, literally. Normally the conversation will just start with how our week is gone, and then it veers off from there. Like, it could be like we're talking about Queen Charlotte from Netflix because she finally watched it, or she done sent me a couple of TikToks that are kind of like mind provoking or conversation starters. And then we just discuss, we're like, oh, I saw this TikTok video about, you know, there's 6 categories of friendships that, you know, most people should have or have to some extent. And we started just having a conversation about who fits in those different categories, or how we don't have like friends in certain categories, or how one friend hits multiple categories. And so we just started going off about that. And, you know, we go off about like our therapy sessions and what we're learning, or the books that we're reading. Like, right now I'm reading a book called Atlas of the Heart by Brené Brown. And it is tearing me up right now, because literally the whole premise is that, like, we live in a world where we literally categorize all of our emotions into happy, sad, and mad. And she's like, baby girl, there's 87 words to describe your experiences and your emotions. And the way she is breaking it down, there are certain emotions. I was like, yo, that's an emotion I had, and I had no idea that that's what it was called. I'm literally like, this isn't a book. And again, maybe this is another episode I'll do, or maybe this will just do a follow-up. I'm not even sure. But the book is messing with me right now, because it's gone through like what boredom is, what the difference between jealousy and envy is, resentment and disappointment. I learned a new word today called epicaricacy, which apparently is when you rejoice at or you have pleasure from the misfortune of others. That's apparently a real emotion. There's apparently another word for it. It's like a German word called, child, I'm probably gonna butcher this really, really bad. It's called Schneidenfreuden. Child, I don't know.
But that's apparently a little bit more common. But again, it's the idea where you're literally, you have this malicious joy from seeing someone else's misfortune and seeing someone else's downfall. And not even necessarily in a sense of like someone who has been doing wrong and they're finally seeing justice. Like, no, this is like literally seeing someone's downfall and you have this like massive, like you just experience this level of joy at the fact that they have misfortune. Like, I am learning new emotions and new like ways to describe feelings, not only to identify in myself, but to be able to identify in others. So we have conversations about that. I mean, literally, we bounce off the walls. It's like a mental tennis match that we do in conversations. And I just realized, you know, here in Korea, like, to them, that's strange because I guess they save all their words for in person. But what words are y'all saving if reality is all y'all do is drink? Y'all just be drinking. And I get that the drinking is a coping mechanism and it's cultural norm and this and the third. But like, you're telling me that, oh, if I spend all that time on the phone, what am I going to talk about when we're together? Y'all not really talking about nothing when y'all together either. Child, that's a whole nother topic in and of itself. Let me not go there. Let me not go there. Anyways, the fact of the matter is, the summer is starting off with some craziness and foolishness between me deciding that I'm going to leave Korea, dealing with my social anxiety because people want to stare, and apparently I don't know. And for me, it's hard to try to switch it to a positive and be like, oh, it's because, like, after a while, especially when you just want to go outside and just run to the grocery store and grab a couple of things, or you just need to go to the bank, or you just need to go to the doctor's office and stuff like that, just normal day-to-day things, it would just be nice to not have to be stared at along the way. Like, I can't do normal things without feeling like I'm an animal in a zoo being stared at. That's all that it is. And I don't want to negate that with the fact that I love Korea. Two things can be true at the same time. I say that all the time. Two things can be true at the same time. I'm triggered and traumatized by the staring. And I absolutely love the culture. I love the people. I love the food. I love my life here. Two things could be true at once. But yeah, that's basically what my life has been looking like at this point. Yeah, I might do a bonus content episode or extended content about, like, for example, the book that I'm reading, because I'm telling y'all, this book is tearing up my life. And I'm somebody that likes to like breeze through books. Like, I'm a pretty fast reader, but I'm like, nah, this that type of book that just makes you sit and reflect on these emotions and like reminisce on like, at what point have I had this emotion? What was the spark of it? What was the start of it? All of that. They don't tell you that when you go on this healing journey, a lot of the times you do this by yourself because you just start discovering more and more things and you be trying to have these conversations with others. And if they're not as open to have these conversations, you just be alone in this healing journey. But again, maybe that's a topic for another day. Because I don't think people talk about healing your inner child, but then what do you do when your teenage self wants to get revenge and you have to, you know, soothe your inner teenager who wants to just lash out at everybody, but your grown self knows, like, that's not gonna get you nowhere. That's not going to solve any of your problems. Let me not go down that rabbit hole. Let me go ahead and wrap up this episode, okay? All right. Once again, thank y'all so much for rocking with me. Thank you so much for your support and your love. Honestly, truly, it means a lot to me because sometimes I get behind this mic and I feel like, girl, you talking about absolutely nothing. You just rambling and it's all nonsense. And I hope that just in me having this conversation with y'all, like somehow y'all laugh with me, y'all resonate with me, y'all connect with me. Because that's really what I want, is for y'all to see yourself and to know that, like, one, a lot of the stuff that you're going through, you're not alone in going through it. And that, two, like,
we all trying to figure out our purpose. We're all trying to figure out our path. And I hope that in me, just talking about my life here in Korea, just whatever else, that there are some connection points that you feel along the way. So I really appreciate the support, the love, everything. I hope that actually, like, my goal is that by the time I get back to the States, I can start recording actual videos. Because again, I'd love to do the videos here, but the way my apartment is set up, it's a no. It's a no for me, dog. I just don't have the spacing, the lighting, I know I don't need a lot of things, but it's just not how I envision it. And I think that's just the perfectionism in me, which I'm working on. But anyways, I digress. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the likes. Thank you for the shares. Thank you for the reviews. Thank you for the words of encouragement. They all are appreciated. And so I do just ask that you just connect with me on the socials, and we just chat. Connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The handle is Shameless Listo on all platforms. That's SHAMELESSLISZTO. Come chat with me. Have you seen the new Spider-Man movie? What are your thoughts on the Spider-Man movie? Are you looking forward to the new one? Did you see The Little Mermaid? Because like I said, I haven't seen it yet. So I've seen people's thoughts on it, but I still would love to hear my listeners' thoughts on The Little Mermaid. And also just, you know, let me know if you would like me to do a whole either bonus, like live on Instagram talking about the book that I'm currently reading. It's called Atlas of the Heart by Brené Brown, because child, it's tearing my life apart right now. Or even just talking about, you know, more in depth about me wanting to leave Korea, what my plans are, me dealing with this social anxiety, etc., etc. Whatever topics you would love for me to delve in further, because like I said, I'm thinking about, since I can't always be behind the mic with the podcast, I could probably take some time and just do a little bit of videos here and there, some lives, and chat with y'all in living color. So let me know in the comments, let me know on my socials what you would like from me. So with that, I'm gonna end this episode. I thank y'all so much. I love you very much, and I mean it. And until next time, your girl is off her soapbox. See ya.